Good evening. I was going to play a trick on Joe and call him and tell him I was sick, that he was going to have to fill in for me tonight. But I repented and got back to studying. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to 1 John. We're going to continue to walk through this book together, and we'll be looking at verses 5 through chapter 2, verse 2, this evening. So if you would read along with me as we open up the Holy Scriptures tonight, let us hear the word of the Lord. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's go ahead and pray together. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you that we can be here tonight to look at your word. I ask, Lord, that you would be with me as I expound your word, that it would be clear, that we would learn more about you, about ourselves, and respond in the way in which you call us to respond to your word. Father, be with us tonight. May your name be glorified. May your Son be lifted up high, and may we be drawn to him. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight I want to look at this text in 2 points. We're going to look first at the nature of God, which is verse 5, and then we're going to look at 3 claims that John refutes. Tonight we'll look at just one of those claims along with the first point, and next time we come together we'll look at the second two, the remaining 2 claims. Last time we were together, we were able to look at John's prologue in verses 1 through 4, and we took a look at the fact that John was fighting against Gnosticism and said that it wasn't that Jesus was just a spirit, but that he came in the flesh. And then we get to verse 5, and we see that John is giving us an amazing truth concerning God once again. Before he goes any further into this book, he will give us this amazing truth in verse 5 of chapter 1. And verse 5 places a hinge that the whole book swings on. We've already seen that this book is a book of tests to help us to have clarity of whether or not we have fellowship with God or not. In other words, we can look at this book and we can take people to this book if they are struggling with assurance or they are struggling with whether or not they are a true Christian. 1 John is where we take them to get clarity, because John gives us these tests of true fellowship with God if we are a true Christian. And in verse 6 and following, we will see John arguing against 3 false claims that he will contradict, but he will not do so until he paints a backdrop in which we can measure these claims to. In verse 5, John will use God's holiness to squash the claims being made in verses 6 and following. As we go through this book and look at the test of true conversion with John, it will be laid out in the light of the truth of verse 5 of chapter 1. And as we looked at the introduction to this book, we noted that John is dealing with the birth of Gnosticism in the first century. And Gnosticism taught that physical matter was evil and only the spiritual realm was pure. And John debunks that false teaching in verses 1 through 4, as we saw when it says that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And we talked about the fact that Jesus had to come in the flesh for him to die for our sins. Well, another false teaching that was being spread was the false teaching of antinomianism in this day. That you can just live however you want to live and still have fellowship with God. That is to say that God's law is not important. Antinomianism means no law or anti-law. Listen to what John Stott says concerning the antinomianism going on in that day. He says, some of the early Gnostics were guilty of blatant antinomianism. They thought of the body a mere envelope covering the human spirit and maintained that man's spirit was inviolable. It could not be contaminated by the deeds of the body. Consequently, spiritual communion with God was independent of physical morality. So what he's saying is that Gnosticism taught that you can just live however you wanted to in the body, and it wasn't going to affect them spiritually. And that's what John is dealing with when he writes this letter. We mentioned last time that we were together as well that we deal with the same thing today. There's nothing new under the sun. That these teachings are still peeking up their heads today in the church. People think that it's just good enough to know the truth, but their lives do not match up with their profession. And John's going to say, that's not going to fly. It's important to note that 1 John is a test of our theology being lived out. Theology and practice always go together. It's so important, brothers and sisters, to understand that we cannot divorce our theology from our practice. We cannot be full of theology in our heads and in our minds and think that just that knowledge itself is going to get us to have fellowship with God, but that our lives are going to be affected by our theology. If we have good theology, if we have theology that the Scripture teaches, then our lives should follow after that. And John's going to say that as he goes on in this book. And like John, we must examine all things in light of God's holiness and the truth that we see in verse 5, that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. When we measure our Christian walk in that truth, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all, then we'll take sin seriously. We'll take obedience seriously. We'll take his word seriously, and then we'll be dealing with biblical truth at that point. So let's take a look at these verses together. Our first point, the nature of God in verse 5. Look to at verse 5 with me if you would. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. So notice first the source of John's message. What is John's source? Is this message some message that John is proclaiming? The message that he is proclaiming, is it something that he invented on his own? Is it something that the apostles got together and invented this new message to preach and to proclaim? Look at verse 5. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you. But who is the him that John is talking about? Who did John get this message from? Look back at verse 3 with me. John says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you. And who is this that he has seen and heard? Well, John tells us in verses 1 through 3 that it's Jesus himself. So it's Jesus that he got this message from. So here in the text, when John says, we have heard from him, it is safe for us to say that he is talking about the teaching of Jesus that he was a witness to. He wrote the Gospel of John, and we can walk through the whole Gospel of John and watch him talk about these things that he learned from Jesus and that he now is proclaiming the very truth that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. And just truth runs all the way through John's epistles. This truth runs all the way through the Scriptures, that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So this message that John is proclaiming comes with authority, but not an apostolic authority, because the apostolic authority comes from the authority of God. So it comes from the authority of God himself. And unlike the false teachers of that time, John will not play with God's truth or change it into a man-made message. He will defend it, and he will call out false teaching that is going on here in Asia Minor. And it's the same for us today, isn't it? We have the same message that John is proclaiming, and we are not free to change it either. We must preach and teach and talk to people about the God of the Scriptures, not the God that we make up in our own minds. Paul tells us that we're ambassadors of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Ambassadors do not proclaim their own message. They proclaim the message of their king. And as Christians, we proclaim the message of our king, and we preach his gospel, not our own. And the gospel always starts with God, and it always ends with God. And here, it specifically starts with the fact that God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. When we talk to people about the gospel, we should start with God. God is holy. He is completely sinless. He is completely pure. And that within itself starts off the conversation of where we're going to go with the gospel. For example, we'll see in the following verses that men are teaching that you can walk in habitual sin and still have fellowship with God. And John will say, no, that is not the truth at all. He who belongs to God must also have a changed life and walk as he walked. The source of this truth concerning God is God himself. So now that we've seen the source of John's message, we secondly see the message that's proclaimed. Look back at verse 5 with me. John continues on by saying, this message that I proclaim that we heard from him is that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That is an amazing truth. Now, what is John trying to communicate to us by saying that God is light? We know that here in this verse, John contrasts that God is light with the statement that there is no darkness in him at all. So whatever it means for God to be light, it is completely opposite of being dark. We also know that both light and darkness are used as metaphors for righteousness and evil in the scriptures. We see it combing all the way through the scriptures. We talk about darkness, we know what it's talking about. We talk about light, we know what it's talking about. What do you think about when you think about light? You probably think about pure and righteous and goodness and God. And what do you think about when you think about darkness? You probably think about wickedness and sinfulness, destruction. And you're right in thinking that way, because that is what John is trying to convey to us as well, that there is no darkness in God at all and that he is light. Light is a metaphor for righteousness and goodness, and darkness signifies evil and sin. John will tell us, if we claim to have fellowship with him, if we claim to have fellowship with him, brothers and sisters, yet we walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. When John tells us that God is light, he is telling us that he is holy and he is pure and he is righteous. And we can just go through the whole scriptures and just do a whole study on the holiness of God and see that God is explained with light in the scriptures. And because God is light and he is pure and holy and righteous, then darkness is in direct opposition of him and it cannot dwell in his presence. We cannot be fooled. God will not have any kind of darkness dwell in his presence. He is holy. He is perfect. He is righteous. We also know that darkness represents wickedness and evil. And because God is light, he cannot have darkness in him at all either. So it's not that God cannot only have darkness in his presence, but there is no darkness in him at all either. There are things that God cannot do. God cannot lie. He cannot die. He cannot deny himself. And it's because he is light that he cannot do those things. And John gives us an example of that in John chapter in his Gospel of John in chapter 3. And if you turn there with me, I just want to look at a couple of verses there that help us to see John explaining this idea. John chapter 3 and starting in verse 19. Starting in verse 19, the Word of God says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So we see that light and darkness are in complete opposition of one another. We see that when light comes into the room, darkness flees. Darkness hides from the light because it does not want its deeds to be exposed. And men and women must understand that their deeds must be exposed if they're going to come into the light. And then they must confess their sins to that very light God himself if they want to have fellowship with him. Go ahead and turn back to 1 John. So in light of this truth that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all, we can now look at these three claims in verses 6 and following. Like I said, we'll be looking at just the first claim, and then next time we're together, we'll be looking at the following two. But the first claim we find here is in verse 6. Look at it with me if you would. If we say we have fellowship with him, that's God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The false claim is the assertion that we can have fellowship with God while at the same time walk in darkness. And this idea of walking in darkness, or we'll see in the next verse, walking in the light. In the Greek, the word walk is peripateo, which means to walk around or to walk in circuit, to live habitually in sin, to walk around in the same place, to stay there and be in bondage to it. Because we know that as Christians, we do sin, but we do not live a life of habitual sin. We cannot live a life of habitual sin. It is impossible to have fellowship with God and live in habitual sin. And like we said earlier, there was a teaching going around in this time that said people can just live however they want and still have fellowship with God. And John writes to the churches and says, not for a second is that the teaching of the Scriptures. I write this to you so that you know that God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. And if you think that you can walk in darkness and have fellowship with him, you're wrong. And today, again, it's no different. There are people walking around thinking that because they prayed a prayer, or they came forward at an altar call, or because they got baptized, or because they even come to church every single Sunday, that they are in fellowship with God, when in fact they have no relationship with him at all. And that's a scary truth. That someone can be here day in and day out, Sunday in, Sunday out. They can hear the Lord's preaching every Lord's day, and they can be fooling themselves. Because when they leave the doors, they go back into walking into darkness. And John says, you have no fellowship with God if you do that. Because in their lives, they live a life contrary to their profession, that they know God. And when you look at their lives, it's not consistent with their profession of faith. Brothers and sisters, when God converts us, we really are a new creation. He really does take our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. We really can say the old is gone and the new has come. We cannot live a life of habitual sin and think that we are a Christian. When God saves us, he does not only save us from our sin, he saves us from the power of sin. That's the Spirit at work in us when God saves us. John records these words of our Lord Jesus in his gospel in chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It is impossible for us to walk in darkness if we belong to him. What about you? All of us here, when we look at our lives, what about us? I'm not asking you about your profession of faith. I'm asking you, do you possess true saving faith? Because true saving faith is continually mortifying sin, walking in the grace of God, walking towards the Lord Jesus Christ and living for him. But a false faith stays in bondage to sin, and it cannot get out of it. Because what John tells us here is the result of someone that says he has fellowship with God and continues to walk in darkness, they're a liar, and the truth's not in them. Jesus said, many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't I do these things in your name? He didn't say they came to him and said, we want in now. They thought they were getting in. They said they were getting in. We did this. We did this, Lord. And he said, I never knew you. Go away from me, you worker of lawlessness. You act like I gave you no law. You lived your life just like the rest of the heathens. I don't even know you. I have no idea who you are. It's called hypocrisy. That's what we see here. It's called hypocrisy. And God will not put up with it. We saw how Jesus handled hypocrisy this morning in Sunday school. He will have nothing to do with hypocrites. He said in Matthew 23, how are you going to escape hell? You whitewash tombs. You wash the outside, but the inside is dirty. Brothers and sisters, we must understand that we must be cleansed by the blood of Christ from the inside out, and then we will have fellowship with him. Then we will walk in the light. Then we can follow after him by his grace. If this kind of lifestyle describes you, you have no fellowship with God. It does not matter what you say. It does not matter how you feel. You must walk in the light as he is in the light. So now that the error that you can walk in the darkness and still have fellowship with God has been refuted by John, he goes on in verse 7 to affirm a complementary truth. He has explained the consequence of walking in the darkness, but now he goes to explain what the result is of us walking in the light. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, if, this word if is in verse 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and even in chapter 2, verse 2, as we continue on. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, concerning us walking in the light, as he is in the light, I think John Stott does a really good job of explaining this, so let me just read his comment on there. He says, now, here we have to understand that any interpretation of this phrase must be consistent both with the symbolic meaning of light and with the following phrase, he is in the light. God is eternally and necessarily in the light because he is himself light. Men are called to walk in the light. God is in the light because he is always true to himself and his activity is consistent with his nature. He cannot deny himself, 2 Timothy 2:13. We must walk in the light of his holy self-revelation and in his presence without deceit or dishonesty in our mind or consciously tolerated sin in our conduct. Walking in the light describes absolute sincerity to be, so to speak, all of a piece, to have nothing to conceal and to make no attempt to conceal anything. End quote. So when we're walking in the light, we are not saying that we ourselves are light, but that we walk in the light of who God is and what he has revealed to us. So we're not light as God is light, but we walk in that light in the sense in which he's revealed that to us. Then John gives us two results of us walking in the light. The first thing that he gives, result that he gives us for walking in the light is fellowship with him. And the second result of walking in the light is that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So when we walk in the light, the result will be fellowship with God. John says in verse 7 that when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. And once again, this idea of walking in the light is not sinless perfection. We know John is not talking about sinless perfection here. We know that for a fact because in verse 9, it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. So John is talking about a style of life. But if we show ourselves to be growing in grace and loving God and his commandments, John is talking again about doctrine and practice. Doctrine and practice. Are we practicing what we say we believe? Also, what John means here when he says that we have fellowship with one another, he is speaking about fellowship with God. Not one another as Christian brothers and sisters, but fellowship with God, one another. Because in verse 6, if we can't have fellowship with God if we're walking in darkness, then the opposite is that we do have fellowship with him if we walk in the light. So those who have come to the light by the grace of God and the Spirit drawing him to that light and have repented of their sins, those people will walk in the light and have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with God. Jesus says in John 14:23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." The greatest fellowship we can ever have is fellowship with God. Praise be to God for his mercy and forgiveness and his willingness to condescend and come and have fellowship with sinners like us. God is not obligated to come and have fellowship with sinful man, but he has chosen to come into this world to send his son to shed his blood so that we can have fellowship with him. Anytime that we see this, anytime that we talk about the forgiveness of God, anytime that we talk about God being light, we should always, always get on our face and praise God for the mercy and grace that he's shown us in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second result of walking in the light is that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Look at verse 7. John says, "And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Anytime we see this truth, that the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, we should marvel at the absolute mercy and love of God, that he would send his only son to come and to shed his blood. It's not as he just sent his son to be obedient to the law and to walk a perfect life and then just go on his way and ascend into heaven. At the end of that walk of obedience to the law, he headed straight to the cross and was crucified on our behalf and poured his blood for us. The very creator of this world came to save his people from their sins, and he did it by pouring out his blood. And once again, when God saves a person, it's not that he just saves them from sin, but he saves them from the power of that sin. The blood of Jesus was poured out for our past, present, and future sins. As we're being sanctified, as we sin, we have an advocate in Jesus Christ, John will tell us. He says, "My little children," in verse 2, chapter 1, "I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin," he knows we're going to sin, "we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." He says that he's a propitiation for our sins. Brothers and sisters, if we walk in the light, we not only have fellowship with God, but the blood of his Son covers us and cleanses us from all of our sins. And dear Christian, we know that we are all in process. There's much work to be done in our hearts. Much mortification to be chasing after. But remember that God's grace has shined its light into your heart and awakened you to follow him. And never take lightly that it is the blood of our Lord that covers you and cleanses you from your sin. And may that truth cause us to walk in the light as he is in the light. And if you find yourself professing faith, yet you walk in darkness, we must examine ourselves when we come to this book, brothers and sisters. We cannot think of other people when we hear this book being preached, and we can't think of other people when we read it. We have to examine ourselves. Are you walking in the light, or are you walking in the darkness? It's either or. You're with Christ, or you're not with Christ. And if you're here and you're walking in the darkness, when you walk out of these doors and you come on Sunday morning, but you walk out of these doors and you continue to live a life of sin, if that's you, the grace of God is offered to you still today. You must come to him in true repentance and faith. See that this message even tonight, see that this message of this book is grace to you while you're breathing. That if you are practicing sin and you are living in the darkness, yet you say you have fellowship with him, God calls you a liar, you don't have fellowship with him, but you see it now in your hearts, God is breaking through, and you see, "I need Christ, I need forgiveness of my sins," then come to him now. Repent of your sins, trust in him. He will save you. He came and he lived a perfect life of obedience to the law of God. He went to the cross and was slaughtered. He died and he rose again for justification. Repent and believe in the gospel tonight. Brothers and sisters, it is really, really, really tough truths that John has given us here. But they are so encouraging, though, as well, when we see that we are walking in the light by the grace of God. So may God give us the grace to walk in the light. And may God give you the grace, if you're not walking in the light, to turn to the light, repent, believe in the gospel, and be saved. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God of light, that there is no darkness in you. There is no sin that dwells in you. You are holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. Oh, Father, we ask that you'd forgive us of our sins. How can we so easily walk into sin when you shed your precious blood for us? Father, help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. And help us, Lord, to point those around us to the light, that their deeds might be exposed and that you might cleanse them of all unrighteousness. May our prayers go to you tonight, Lord, and may you see fit to answer those prayers according to your will, and may we submit to your will. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.